welcome back. Yes. The seminal work of Richard Bach, Jonathan Livingston Seagull, 1970. Oh my gosh. You know, we're still in the 70s. Mary Tyler Moore, here's a book. So I went to school 76, late 70s, graduated in 80. And I had a very good English. It was a very high level type thing. And my friends, we read this great work. This great, you did too. All right. So let's just take a look here. A soulmate, because we're on the lie of the soulmate. The soulmate is someone who has the locks to fit our keys and the keys to fit our locks. It is me before we. So Sarah's looking. She, you know, we got these circles. We got these groups. Where do they intersect? Where's our Venn intersection? And she's right, because that's what we're looking at right at this moment. Those groups have we before me. But your soulmate, it's me before we. And 90% of these types of spouses have doubts about their marriage, because the core ambition of the soulmate is to be happily married and not stably married. The concept, the decision to love, which comes from being taught that, we generally don't think that. So we have to be in a group settings where we would have encountered that, and that tends to be church. But not always. The Asian Americans, and you know, we talked about the others, can do that too. And so that decision to love when the romance honeymoon fades for the betterment of the family. Happiness is a byproduct of setting one's sights to something beyond our limited view. And that's virtue. That's what the pursuit of virtue is. So we have a family. These contrary to the seagull model, the successful, masters have a family first model, and they tend to be both stable and satisfying,
right?
Because the stability is
set. Right, absolutely. I mean, nobody wants to. How many people are willing to sit on a two stool chair?
Right.
I mean, would you ever feel like, I mean, could you do it? Yes. Right. I mean, it's possible. People actually probably sit on a one stool chair on a high wire, strung up between two, you know, high rise, you know, skyscrapers. Can it be done? Yes. Is it prudent? No. I mean, you know, you're never without a moment's hesitation that at any second it could all fall. But nobody feels that way when they're sitting on a stool with three legs. You know, you are. Yes.
Happy and content for the stability.
Absolutely. Stability. And we could define that stability in a myriad of ways, right? Stability could be those things that I was saying about that. You have an end goal in mind. You know, that stability could be that you are living your life for the other, right? Stability could be that you have a recognition that every morning when your husband or your wife wake up, they're willing the good for you. Those are all foundational pillars on that stool that keep you, that just keep it at a level that allows something to be constructed on top of it. But in that whole Jonathan Livingston Seagull model, right? And I read that when I was, you know, when you're young and stupid, and you think, oh, this is so beautiful, right? All that does is makes me look at you every single day to examine you based upon a preconceived idea that I had of whether or not, of what's going to make me happy. Do you fit that piece of the jigsaw puzzle today? And I think that we find that for most people, no. You don't fit that piece today, right? you don't. Like, whatever it is that you do, I think, like, sometimes, you know, the alarm clock goes off in the morning and either the husband or wife turns over and turns it off and then doesn't get out of bed. And the other person in bed is left thinking, well, why did you set the alarm clock for that time if you weren't going to get up? I mean, like, even like something like some little minute little reality like that could leave somebody who is not in it for the long haul to think, well, I didn't want to get married to someone. I mean, my soulmate would know that last night when I went to bed, I just needed 15 more minutes of sleep. My soulmate would know that I wouldn't have set the alarm clock early today because this day of all days is such an important day for me, right? I mean, so it shuts down communication because it's a presumption that the other person simply knows you because they're your soulmate, and it shuts off communication. It permits seething little mini animosities to rise up that, you know, in a normal marriage, you can't just let that sit. Those things will fester. Even, you know, they'll just be there. And in a normal marriage, two people would just be like, well, why'd you set the alarm clock so early if you weren't going to get up? Oh, well, you know, I was hoping that I would be able to wake up early this morning, but last night I just couldn't sleep, right? And so when the alarm clock went off, I just needed some more sleep. I'm sorry for waking you up. Okay, well, there's an effective dialogue in the morning that's built on mutual understanding, right? As opposed to, well, he should have known that I didn't need to get up early this morning, right? It's a very childish, that soulmate idea is very, because remember how, well, not remember, but we've talked about in numerous times that we're called to be childlike, not childish. And that concept of the soulmate is a childish counterfeit for the childlike love that husbands and wives are supposed to have for one another.
That's right. All right, my friends, let's pick up in the next episode of some practical applications to these concepts. Wilcox has some, I have some, I know Sarah will have some. Till then, my friends, be nice. Good watch you.